Well, welcome to the debate. I'm Kavit Akhwe. Iran has become self-sufficient in gasoline production. Iran's President Hassan Rouhani has made this announcement after the inauguration of a refinery in the southern port city of Bandar Abbas. Now, this means that Iran will not need to import gasoline anymore. In this edition of the debate, we will look at how Iran is able to make these achievements while being under sanctions, what this means when it comes to the U.S. sanctions plans against Iran. Our guest joining us for this edition of the debate, journalist and political commentator Maxine Dover, joins us from New York on the phone. And we have political analyst Scott Rickard, who joins us from Tampa, Florida. I'd like to welcome you both. And Maxine Dover, let me start with you. What do you think about this achievement of Iran, the third phase of the gas condensate plant of the Persian Gulf, Star Refinery? This was inaugurated in the southern city of Bandar Abbas, making Iran become self-sufficient in gasoline production, which means it doesn't need to import gasoline anymore. Maxine Dover?
Yes, hello. Good evening.
Good evening. Did you catch my question?
I did not hear the question. You'll please repeat it.
Sure. There was an inauguration of what we have, a refinery in the southern city of Bandar Abbas in Iran, which makes Iran become self-sufficient in gasoline production. And that's a major deal, because it means that Iran doesn't have to import gasoline anymore.
This, of course, is self-sufficiency is a good thing. Where is the question in that? I agree that there is a very important self-sufficiency motive in having a gas refinery. Most countries would like to do this. It's happening all over the Middle East, with the new fields discovered between Syria, between Cyprus, rather, and Israel, Turkey's involvement as well. And this self-sufficiency that leads to peaceful climates.
Okay. Well, let me turn to you, Scott Rickard. The reason why this one respect is very important is the fact that not only will it be able to meet the domestic demand, but it's also very important for the defense of the country. If you don't have gasoline to run your planes or anything else, then obviously your defense is going to fall short and be weakened. The reason why I bring that up is because we're looking at, a very critical juncture in Iran in terms of the international arena when it's being put under pressure, and you hear the murmurs of war coming from the U.S. and Israel. So that is the reason why we are posing this question regarding this inauguration of this refinery. What is your reaction to it?
Well, certainly being able to develop your own energy resources is massively important to any nation. But that being said, when you're looking at the intentional sanctions against Iran since 1979 and the massive amounts of influence that the United States and their allies have had on the economy for the last 40 years, it's extremely important that Iran continue to be sovereign and to continue to develop their own independent resources. These resources will empower them to be independent from the rest of the world, because the rest of the world is being cut off deliberately by the United States, by obviously the United Kingdom, and certainly France and other European allies, and obviously Israel and Saudi Arabia. So you have a tremendous coalition that Iran has successfully fought and successfully endured for over 40 years. Peacefully, let's be clear here, peacefully. This is nothing like it's being elaborated in Warsaw a few days ago by the Vice President of the United States. It is absolutely nothing like what happened in Europe. The same types of sanctions were put on Germany by England and the United States and their allies, not only in World War I, but also in World War II. And Germany had to also modify their energy production. They were using a lot of ethanol-based and a lot of alcohol-based machinery, refining their own types of fuels. And obviously, they developed some relations in the Middle East with Iraq to develop additional fuel consumption capabilities. But that being said, these types of sanctions always lead to wars, and they lead to wars because it is an economic warfare that is being conducted by the United Kingdom and the United States. These are the leading allies that have been doing this since the early 1900s. So I think what we see here is a repeat of history, and Iran is preparing themselves through this independence. And obviously, this particular infrastructure to create their own gasoline is important, but certainly the development of their defensive missiles are very important as well.
Yeah, Maxine Dover, the reason why we started out with the program.
I think the last country with the worst history in the deaths of mankind, millions and millions of people who were killed in World War II by using Germany as a comparison. Why would anyone want to use Germany as a comparison when one could look more?
Well, it's a great question. I'd like to answer that.
The use of energy, the use of energy to create a peaceful and productive atmosphere. Iran has not been an angel in white in supplying arms and armaments to Hamas and Hezbollah and causing war and conditions to worsen. This is an opportunity for Iran to, in fact, look at its self-sufficiency and say, you know, we have time now to be peaceful. We can build the Iranian economy. We have the resources. The people of Iran deserve to have a positive and functioning economy. They don't deserve to be on a war footing. That isn't
something
the government should be trying to stress. On the contrary, the government should take the ability that it now has to self-sufficiency.
It's not the government's fault.
And look towards the betterment of the Iranian
people. It's not the government of Iran. It's the government of England.
Okay, Scott Richter, go ahead.
Well, absolutely. I'd love to answer that question about Germany. When you talk about Germany, let's talk about the world wars. This is the West causing some of the most decimating catastrophes in the history of the world. These were not anything to do with the Iranians, with the Arab world, with all the catastrophes that occurred in Europe at the time. These were Western powers that caused these problems. Not an Iranian government, not an Arab government. These governments have not caused this kind of devastation ever in the history of the world. And you have to go back thousands of years to talk about any kind of domination.
So the
fact is that when you're looking at what Maxine's characterizing here.
Go ahead, Scott Rickard. I'm sorry.
If you're looking at what Maxine is characterizing here, it's a traditional hate of Germany. Let's be clear here that Germany was also a victim in World War I and World War II. Germany did do some horrible atrocities in World War II, certainly, that are absolutely unquestionably undeniably bad. But at the same time, these wars were instigated by the British Empire. They were instigated over and over again. And they are once again instigating war against Iran. And that's why I use the comparison.
Okay, Maxine Dover, we've heard what Michael Pompeo has said.
The relationship between the Mufti of Jerusalem and Hitler, one sees an attempt
to... Oh, please, that's a minute
what
affair.
Hitler wanted to accomplish in Europe, which was the eradication of the Jewish
people.
Okay,
let's move on.
This is not a point of
interest. That's hilarious, Maxine. Where is that not, all you have?
This is not, unfortunately, it's great information, but I'd like to move on with the topic of the debate at this point. Maxine Dover, we have had the U.S. National Security Advisor, we have had Michael Pompeo, the U.S. Secretary of State, and also Trump in some occasions, though maybe not as direct, say that the sanctions that have been imposed against Iran are going to target the Iranian people. Now, you said that Iran should be proud of this refinery, and it should be proud that it can make such an achievement, and it should be a good time for Iran to make good. How can Iran react to, let's say, the U.S. when it's targeting its own people?
What is your question here? When the U.S. is targeting?
The U.S. is targeting Iran.
Certainly, when Iran puts messages on missiles that say death to the U.S. and death to Israel, that is not a very positive way of approaching reconciliation.
The Israelis mark on their missiles all the time when they bomb Gaza.
A respect for one another's position. You don't have to be best friends.
Terrible.
You just have to be decent and respectful of the borders of each country, and not try to impose your philosophy, whatever that might be, on another country.
Okay.
That's where
we have to look at the value of self-sufficiency
versus the value of helping one's own economy, helping one's own people. And I refer to making sure the Iranian people have water and making sure that the Iranian people have full access to the values of their education and their intelligence.
Stop the sanctions and the Iranian government, as well as the Iranian people, will flourish.
On terror.
Okay. Scott Rickard, let's move on to Europe. Right now we're talking about sanctions, and Europe is obviously doing its best to try to preserve the nuclear deal. Iran has had patience with Europe, but it came in very late on one of the promises by the name of Instex, which was this payment system. But really what it amounted to was just basically getting what Iran was going to get under the sanctions anyways. Now, what is the stance of Europe vis-a-vis Iran? We're looking at them falling short here. They're not really pulling their weight. They maybe can't. Your opinion matters here. And they're also on the same page, it appears, with the U.S. when it comes to Iran's missiles, which Iran wants to use for its defense capabilities.
Well, clearly, there's a lot of what I would call poor negotiation by the European Union. Certainly, the European Union hasn't negotiated anything in their favor. They are being held hostage, if you ask me, by the American and Western banking infrastructure, as well as the NATO military industrial complex that really controls the European Union. At the same time, you have a tremendous amount of influence happening in Europe with the pro-Israel lobbies. Certainly, it's very clear in the United States and in England how powerful the pro-Israel lobbies are. And certainly, it's very clear in the commercial industries and the intelligence industries in the respective nations across Europe as well. At the same time as well, if you look at what's going on in the European Union, they are absolutely not buying any Iranian oil at this point. They've all declined, even though they were given opportunity to. It looks like from a commercial perspective, the European Union is absolutely balking and only being basically a financial transaction marketer to the Iranian people. But when it comes to any type of commercial trade, absolutely European Union is balking. However, when it comes to the JCPOA, I do believe that the European Union will hang on to this. I actually do think that the European Union supports it, and they do see it as a positive type of treaty to hold not only with Iran, but any country around the world, because we absolutely do not want to see any kind of nuclear disaster occur in Iran, Israel, France, India, Pakistan, or elsewhere. So when it comes to nuclear treaties, the United States and Russia are moving in the wrong direction. At least Iran has moved in the right direction and wants to stay there and be a cooperative, participative partner. And unfortunately, the United States has shown that it's absolutely not being participatory in the United States' efforts to be non-nuclear proliferation.
Maxine Dover, your take on Europe and what and the way it has treated Iran when it comes, to the nuclear deal, and then, of course, falling short when it comes to other promises that it has made to Iran.
I think Europe is in a very tough position. It is in a position where it has to decide whether or not the pressures that the United States is admittedly putting on its banking system and its trade
Don't forget the Israel lobby.
Have more value to it, Europe, and the European Union than similar relations with Iran. And in many instances, it has chosen to favor the United States. I have to agree with my colleague on the other screen that working towards peace is obviously the better choice. I think there are very few who would have other than peace. War is not a situation that any of us want. However, that also takes responsibility, and that takes the responsibility of not encouraging those who would create warlike situations. And I specifically refer to the groups that are attacking Egypt, the Hezbollah and the Hamas, that are attacking Israel, that are putting Jordan in fear, because and that have destroyed so much in Syria. Syria is the a sadness in the history of nations that its people have been so destroyed, so many killed, so many have left. The destruction that's gone on in there in the 21st century is a shame, and that could not happen if there were no terrorists looking to Iran to supply their weaponry, and that we all know is fact. 110,000 missiles are said to be sitting in Syria. What are they needed for? What are they there for? And why is Iran supplying that? Israel, in fact, has said to the Iranian people through the Farsi radio station and other means of communication that it will supply water.
Water is the
nectar of life, and that's necessary. There's a drought in Iran.
Okay.
Why not say, okay, we've had enough of this game playing. Let's look to the values of the people. Let's look to humanity, and we'll take the water.
Well, Iran has asked. Let me come in since we just got a couple minutes left here. She mentioned Israel there and why Iran needs to have, as she claims, 110,000 missiles in Syria, Scott Rickard. Maybe I should ask her or ask your reaction, since it's your turn here. Why does Israel need nuclear warheads?
Well, first of all, Israel is massively overarmed to its neighbors. You know, it's hypocrisy not even to realize that and mention that. The Israelis get over $3.5 billion in military aid from the United States alone. They operate on a very cooperative level with the United States military, intelligence, and also obviously a nuclear and heavily armed and heavily tremendously advanced military infrastructure. The fact is that the Iranians have done nothing compared to what the Americans have done with Israel in the Middle East. And certainly the suffering people in Jerusalem that are losing their houses every day, being kicked out of their houses for the last 60 years, these are the suffering people of the region. These are the people who have been oppressed. And the immigrants from all over Europe have come to steal their lands and have kicked them out and treated them as if they were dogs and animals. You hear this all the time coming out of the Israeli people. And obviously, Syria needs to defend itself. They have to defend themselves. The Americans are now giving Israel the green light to bomb Syria almost on a daily basis. So here we have, yet again, the elephant in the room being completely ignored by Maxine Waters. She does this over and over again. She makes excuses for the oppressors and the brutality of the Israeli government in the region. And it's sad. It's a sad day. And hopefully the truth will come through one day in the media and the governments around the world.
We unfortunately have to end it there. Thank you very much. Let me thank our guest, journalist and political commentator Maxine Dover. And thank you, political analyst Scott Rickard from Tampa. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Vitale, the entire team of the Capitol Tehran is goodbye.